receive your word as you intended it for us, God, that we would hear not from the foolish lips of a man, but of the holy and awesome voice of God speaking through the weakest of vessels, God. I ask you, please, to take a coal from the fire right now and don't just touch my lips, God, but burn up my whole body. God, we need you. Your people need a word, God, and it's just got to be more than I got to say, please. Help me not to mess up this word for somebody here today, God, and help me to help me, God, to relay the exact message you want from your word. We need you, Holy Spirit. Speak to us. We need a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. Prophesy over us today, God. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. 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 Amen and amen. If you've not been here, the book of Colossians is a letter written by the Apostle Paul when he was in a Roman prison to a church in a city called Colossae. That's why it's the book of Colossians. It was written to the people of Colossae who were known as Colossians, like people from Florida, Floridians. That's what they were called. So that's why he wrote this little letter, this epistle, as it's called in Bible scholar terms. And what it was intended to do was to quell, to quash, to put an end to the divisions that were occurring because of what's called false doctrine. Again, if you're new to big fancy Bible words, the word doctrine is the type of teaching you get and how you get it. All right? It really doesn't have a specific meaning. Divisive people throw the word doctrine around like it's like it's a pancake. Hey, you could have some fake doctrine, you could have some doctrine, and you're messing up my doctrine. Don't let that word fool you. The only thing the word doctrine means is the teaching of and how it's delivered. It's not a big fancy word as people would have you to believe. But there was bad doctrine, bad teaching going around the city of Colossae. And the reason was is because the church was started, again, we're reviewing because some of you all weren't here. The church was started by, not by the Apostle Paul, but by somebody who he led to the Lord in another city. Some say Ephesus, some say Rome. And this church was started, and they started to believe in Judaism, not Jewish Judaism, but what is called a lawful Judaism, where you have to do this, and you have to do that, and you have to do this, and if you don't, God don't love you. Or it was also trying to defeat what's called Gnosticism. If you're looking things up, it's G-N-O-S-T-I-S, whatever, Gnosticism. And it was the knowledge of God in your heart that the Lord Jesus did not come in the flesh. He was not God. He was not a personal being, but he was a knowledge of a guru type of unseen thing. And the smarter you were, the closer you were to God. If you have it's like those people today who believe if you have a college education, that means you're really smart. But if you don't have a college education, it means you're really stupid. I stand before you, somebody really stupid. And he addresses all these things throughout this book. Today he starts to address something very, very important to know. Stay with that theme that he's addressing their questions, please. However, as an overarching theme, because if you didn't catch the first two teachings of this book, you might be like, I really don't know what you're talking about, dude. Dig this. Diggest thou this. There's three things that you currently battle with. Every believer has three battles that Paul addresses today. The number one thing that you battle with is your flesh. Your heart desires lust, anger, violence, wrath, vengeance. These things just come so natural. Driving down the road, somebody cuts you off and you're going to box them in or cut them back off. Then look in a car, maybe, you know, the baby dropped its bottle or, you know, and they dropped, you know, who knows what happened. It don't matter. It's my lane. Get out of my lane. Get your own lane. Or worse. And you're constantly fighting with yourself and his men. And after it's over, after a night of, did it again, man. You're fighting with this thing. I'm not going to fight with her anymore. I'm not going to fight with him anymore. But then you do it again, and you know any of those people, man? It's like their mouth is like a dam on it, and as soon as it breaks, it's just, and they say every horrible thing you could think of. It's like, wow. Shake that cup a little bit. Find out what's in it. That's your flesh, guys. If you don't know that, now you, if, you know, what Biggie say? If you don't know, now you know. This is real. The struggle is real. You're constantly, man, why did I do that? That's your flesh, man. You as a being, as a human being, are made up of three things: a body, a soul, and a spirit. Your body is your flesh, the craving, your food. You know, like that movie, I eat because I'm miserable, and I'm miserable because I eat. That's a real thing, man. People that struggle with that stuff, man, they wish they, oh man, why don't I? Just can't stop myself. That's the flesh. That's that desire of the flesh. And you know, why is it so strong? Why does it just seem to overtake me? I sit in my office with broken men all the time. I can't stop with this porno crap. I don't know what it is. It's the flesh. What should I do? What should I do? And everybody wants the practical. Well, you know, there's this program you can put on your computer, and you could also, you know, cut your internet cable. And yeah, well, that's good for a start, but that's not going to help the underlying issue. And you might be one of those people, okay, so what's the underlying issue, Ryan? We'll get to it. The Apostle Paul addresses it, so I don't have to. The second thing you struggle with is the world. The world is a terrible system. The world hates God, now so more than ever. And they want you, as the Bible says, to run with them in the same flood of dissipation. What do you mean you're not going out to the bar tonight? Oh, you got to go home to your wife? Oh, you got to be in church tomorrow? The world says everybody robs. What's the big deal? Cheat on your taxes. What's the big deal? Oh, you're going to tell. That's what the world does. The world wants you to act like them. Because as soon as you start acting holy in this world, set apart, the word holy, again, if you're new to Bible terms, the word holy, it sounds like this big word, oh, you're holier than thou. The word holy only means set apart. That's all it means, is that God said, no, I got another thing for you to do. Now, at first you might think, oh, that's all it means? Yeah, that's all it means. That's a pretty big thing, isn't it? Yeah, it is a pretty big thing. But it doesn't mean what I thought it meant. It kind of means like more than I thought it meant. It's weird. The world will, such a strong pull. But why did you be hanging out with the fellas and all of a sudden they start talking some nasty stuff and you made a promise to God, you weren't going, man, I'm not going to coarse jest anymore. I'm not going to say things that, and then there you are. You might be in school. You might be somebody here and you might be a teenager or just in college and you're like, man, you know, no, I started going to church now. I'm getting serious about this thing. I ain't going to do what all the friends do. I'm not going to do it. But there you are doing it, wishing you could stop. And I'll tell you what it looks like. I'll tell you, parents, in case you didn't know this, as soon as your kid goes like this, that means they're stuck in the world. Hey, why did you do that? And you look at your kid, if you have a teenager, you go, I'm blown away. Why would you do that? That's what they do. I can tell you a story about my own high school years. I was a sophomore in high school, John Adams High School in Queens, New York. My brother was a senior, and he was better looking, stronger, excellent athlete, scrappy as all get out. He would scrap with anybody. My brother had no concern. And I needed to get some attention, you know? I needed some attention. So during art class, I noticed that one of the windows were open, so I decided to go out on the window and walk around the ledge, around the whole school, and wave to everybody on the way. And when I got in, they, like, wrestled me down to the ground, like, you're going to commit suicide. No, I wasn't going to commit suicide. I wouldn't commit suicide. I wouldn't commit suicide at all. And I couldn't verbalize. I just wanted some attention. So they asked me, why would you do that? don't know why I did that. And as soon as your high school or junior high school kids start shrugging their shoulders, they're not lying to you guys. They don't know why they do those things. They can't stop themselves. Number one, the power of the flesh is too strong. And number two, the world, man. The world, such a strong pull. There used to be a commercial on TV for a V8, the tomato juice V8. And it used to be like a picture of somebody walking, and like they bent like the top of it, so their body was going this way, but it was like, and then you drink the V8 and you get straight. Anybody remember that commercial? Am I the only one? That's what it's like. You wake up in the morning, and the world's already hell-bent. It's already hell-bent. And then there's a third thing, and the most potent of the three. And you might not believe this, but it's the devil. You see, you might not believe in the devil, but the devil is real. He's a being created by God. Now, keep this in mind, please, that the devil is not omniscient, omnipotent, or omnipresent. He's not everywhere all the time like God is. He's not omniscient. He doesn't know everything, everything you're thinking, everything you said, everything you thought you were going to say like God does. And he's not omnipotent, all-powerful, like God is. But you ain't no match for him. And he has what's called principalities and powers. He has dominions and rulers. He has a well-organized team waiting to take you out. And sometimes it's said, the devil don't make you bad, he just makes you busy. It's that very famous story that Chuck Smith tells in one of his books. Love this story, and it's a good picture for you. They used to do a testimony night at the old Salvation Army, and there was this black dude always showed up, this old black guy used to say, this week, on the road, I came across the devil, and I whooped him in the name of Jesus. And every week, that guy would be there, oh, I was on the road this week, and the devil come across me. And in the name of Jesus, I whooped him. And there was this tight-butted white dude with a suit and a tie that used to show up every week. And he said, you know, I walk the same roads you walk, and I don't never come across the devil. And the black dude didn't miss a beat. Looking, goes, well, maybe you're moving in the same direction. That's true. What does a Christian look like? He's either coming in or going out of a trial. That's just what we do. If you were promised that, you know the old song, I never promised you a rose garden? From top to bottom, you look through this Bible, and the only promise you get is, you know what awaits you? Trials, temptations, pain, misery, and suffering. Welcome to the body of Christ. But the Bible does give two words about your walk in Christ, and they're my favorite two words in the Bible. Rich fulfillment. You'll never be more fulfilled than miserable at the same time. I don't know why life sucks so much, but somehow I'm pretty cool. I am richly fulfilled. Isn't that crazy? It's crazy. I've never been in more pain in my entire life, but yet I've never been happier. I've never had more struggles. Like, I could care less. I mean, I don't want to sound terrible, but if you're here, please understand. I'm sorry about the crass way I put this, but when I was growing up, if you were on fire, I wouldn't have pissed on you, but put you out. I wouldn't have. I had zero conscience. When I mean zero, zero. Jail, prison, whatever. I don't care. I never did. And then all of a sudden, accepting Christ as my Savior, and my heart just like, it's like that movie. I've used this analogy. Like, if you've ever been in, if you've ever watched that, my wife's one of my favorite movies, The Grinch. When his heart grows five sizes, boom, 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 boom. Ah, what is I'm feeling? I'm feeling, ah. Horrible, man. Horrible, worrying about everything. Sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, 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 sorry. What is this sorry? What is sorry? 25 years ago, I got saved. And you know what happened? I became sorry. 30. Oh, my goodness. So if you're here and you're struggling with these things, you ain't alone. This is just another day in the life of a Christian. And you're going to fight your flesh and you're going to fight the world. And then there's the enemy who wants to pick you off. But God. Verse 11, chapter 2, the book of Colossians. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Please give me your attention. One of the things that he addresses, the Judaizers, the Jewish proselytes of the day, they said, in order for you to be saved, you must be circumcised. Now, if you do not know what circumcision is, Steve, put up the... My wife is shaking her head at me, and she's leaving. That's not the first time. And here the Apostle Paul, and what's coincident here, or should I say non-coincidental, is the Apostle Paul was Jewish. He was not just Jewish. He was a Pharisee, which means he believed so wholeheartedly you followed the law. He's like one of those guys that wore all black and had the tassels of hair and the tzitzis. I mean, this guy was orthodox. But something happened to the Apostle Paul. He got saved and he got set free from the law. Here he's saying, listen, you don't need to be circumcised. Don't let the Judaizers lie to you. Now, you all might be here thinking to yourself, yeah, how does this apply to me? Please stay with me. All that I'm saying to you about what I'm saying is going to come together by the end of the study, I promise. Tune in, especially if the first part meant anything to you. If anything I said in the first part of that about being a three-tier person and having those three things come against you, if it means anything, stay with me. Here the Apostle Paul says, you don't need to be circumcised in the flesh. You've been circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So here's what happened. Somewhere in the age, anywhere, I don't know, between 12 and 30, let's say, you were given the opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior by God Himself. He put somebody in your path. He made you to feel something or to sense something. And you had the opportunity and you said, not interested. So you went about your way in the world, whether it be smoking, drinking, and partying, or just not caring whether what you were doing was ordained by God or not. You just, look, I'm a good person. I grew up in a good family. I don't need God. You're as wicked as the guy that's smoking, drinking, and partying. You're as wicked as the chick who's out there dancing and whoring and whatever else. You just don't know it. And you got this sin stuck to your, let's call it, for lack of a better term, metaphysical being. And then all of a sudden this spiritual weight is upon you, and you go to a church. Or you meet somebody in your family and they tell you about receiving Christ. And you go, man, I need that. I want that. And right at that decision that you make, maybe even before you said a prayer, like a prayer is going to do something, you just decided in your heart that you were going to live for Christ. And right then, here's what the Apostle Paul is saying is, at that point in time, the sin that has been sticking to your life all this time is now cut away. The circumcision of sin. You were circumcised with the circumcision of Christ. It's gone. And it can no longer stick to you. So what happens, though, according to 1 John 1:9, that although God is faithful, you must continue in your confession to God. Now, that makes no sense, you might say. I thought he cut away the sins of my life. He cut away the sin of your life. The sins of your life continue as you struggle with the flesh, as you struggle with the world, and as the enemy attacks you. But you are now covered with a better circumcision, a circumcision made of what could, let's call it, for lack of a better term, Teflon. And now, when you get hit with a dart, you could pull it out and throw it away. When you sin, you could just brush it off. If you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Listen to me. You will never be sinless. But in Christ, you're blameless. The enemy says, oh, I know what you did yesterday. He's going to point at you. Oh, Dan, I know what you said. I know what you did. I know. And he's going to accuse you. And he's going to tell God, God, look at him. Look at him. And God's going to pick up his glasses and he's going to go, don't see nothing but the blood. And that is what he's talking about, the circumcision of Christ. Now, why is that germane to these people? Because they were getting told they had to do these regulations and these, you got to do this and you got to do that. And if you don't do this, then God won't love you and you're not in the family of God. You're not really saved. Are you circumcised? Prove it. You know what I mean? That's crazy talk. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Listen to me. This is not a verse speaking of the necessity of baptism for salvation. Quite the contrary. It's saying, and you're going to see at the end of it, if you've been baptized, there's a reason you did this baptism. And it wasn't just because the whole church got together and we filled up a tub. And it was more. Baptism is, as 1 Peter says, the pledge of your conscience toward God. If you were baptized, you were baptized for a reason. Now, I'm saying baptism here. Maybe some of you guys here are like, yeah, what is that all about? Listen, talk to me afterward if you want. If you want to have another baptism, we could either go down to the beach and baptize you in the water down there. We did that for a couple years. But the last few months, we got this big old pool. What is it? A pond. We fill it up with water. We all go outside. We dunk you in the water. Ah, celebration. But there's a reason for baptism. And if you're interested, if you've never been baptized or it's been a long time since you've been baptized and you really like to renew this energy, maybe you're starting a new ministry. Maybe you just got married and you want to be baptized as one with your wife. Whatever it is, there is nothing in Scripture that says you can only be baptized once. The necessity for baptism is obedience. Can you be obedient enough to God, anybody? Of course not. The more obedient you are, the better. Can you see God rebuking me? Did you get baptized 3 times in your life? You stupid idiot. You should have went to Yale. That's what you should have done. I go, I did go to Yale. No, you went to jail. Stop it. Verse 13, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision in your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Now that sounds like some sweet words there, but let me tell you what he's really saying to the Jew, and let me tell you something. This was big. I'll tell you how big it was. By law, and I don't mean like law, I mean religious law, he could have been killed for that last verse. Here's what he's saying. You don't need to follow the law of God anymore. No longer are you bound to these rules. Do this and do that and don't eat this and don't eat that. He took the Old Testament and he nailed it to the cross. And some of the Jews reading this are like, oh, you're in trouble. Because if that's not accurate, and if that's wrong, then he's in big trouble with God. And now the Jewish leaders of the day, they wanted him dead. As a matter of fact, if you look through the book of Acts, they actually made a vow that none of them would eat until they killed the Apostle Paul. Wow. They said, from now on, nobody, we're all going to fast until he's dead. Guess what happened? They ate. Because he didn't die by their hand. Yeah, that's what would have happened. But no, they didn't want to kill him that bad. Well, I want to kill him, but I don't want to die over it. Now watch this, verse 15. This is what we're talking about. Now, listen. The first part of what we just read, I circled that whole thing and I write next to it, self. Because the three things that we wrestle with, that's the first self. It's the power of the suggestion of things. If I say to you, I don't want you to think about a little yellow Volkswagen bug. Why are we all thinking about it? I said, don't think about it. That's the power of sin. And that is what the sociologists call subliminal seduction. When they tell you advertising don't work, say, then why do you spend $4 to $5 million a minute on advertising at the Super Bowl? Then why is every single YouTube video I watch have an advertisement in it for 5 to 15 seconds? Because subliminal seduction works in every form. It's the power of suggestion. Here, the Apostle Paul says very intently and seriously, it's time to cut that away. It's time to get rid of the power of suggestion in your life. The Apostle Paul, I think it was Paul, it was one of the writers of the New Testament, he said, I would not have known where my sin was until I was informed. How else would I know what covetous was until somebody told me you're coveting somebody else's stuff? How would I even know? When I was a kid growing up, I didn't know what lust was. I just know what I wanted. I want that. You guys know what I'm saying or not? Continuing. Here's where he addresses the more powerful thing. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. The enemy knew that the power was over you in the flesh and in the spirit and in the body. He put these suggestions. And here, listen, the Apostle Paul says, when he died on the cross, he put an end to all that. I use this analogy. I think it was Pastor Bob who said this analogy. They used to, in the old early days of the circus, they used to take baby elephants from Africa. They used to fly them over here, and the first thing they used to do is they used to band their foot. And then they used to stake them to the ground with a big stake. And these elephants used to just walk in circles. So, I mean, they'd wear it down like a foot deep because they just walk in circles. But like after like a year or two, you know what they did? They cut the chain. And that elephant didn't even know he was free. It was such a habit of just going around in circles. Just such a habit. Don't even know they're free. And that's what happens to us. Guys, you're free, Christian. So why am I still doing the same thing? You don't know you're free. You have the power to be free. So why am I still doing the same? I don't feel like I'm free. I mean, I get this feeling, but the feeling's going away. And I'm still going in circles, and you're free. You're free. Walk in freedom. Get out of the circle. Get off the rat race. Get out of the hamster wheel. You're free. I don't feel free. There's a reason you don't feel free. We're going to address it. Stay with me. I promise you, I'm going to give you the solution. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are shadows of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Here he aims squarely in the heart of the Jewish faith. If you did not know this, there are, and I wrote them down, there are 8 feasts in Israel. These are the biggies. If you've ever seen, you're outside and you see the Hasidic Jews or the Orthodox Jews, and certain days they're walking, and certain days they're doing this, and certain days they're doing that. Here, the Apostle Paul, who, by the way, was an Orthodox Jew, he's like, don't let nobody judge you because you go to church on Saturday, because you go to church on Sunday, because you go to church where they do this, because you do that. Don't let nobody judge you according to your faith. Watch. There is the Sabbath day, which is a weekly feast. There's the Passover. They call it Pesach, which is in Nisan 14 or 15. These are all months of the Jewish calendar. Unleavened bread, which is Shag Hamatosi, which in Nisan 15:22, there's the Feast of First Fruits, which is Yom Habikurim, which is in Nisan 16th and 17th. Pentecost, they call Shavuot, trumpet, the Feast of Trumpets, which is Yom Torah. There's the Feast of Atonement, which is Yom Kippur. There's the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, Chuck Missler does an amazing study. I ain't even going to scratch the surface of it. I'm not. Sometimes I try, but I'm not. If you just put in Feasts of Israel, Chuck Missler on YouTube, he shows how each feast that Israel has is a picture of Christ and the church to come. It is absolutely beautiful. And the reason he did it, obviously, is because of what the Apostle Paul says. Listen, yeah, as Jews, we have all these feasts we celebrate, but the feasts are not near as important as to what they were representing, were representing. Past tense, don't keep the feasts no more. You don't gotta. You don't gotta. If you brought up Catholic, I was brought up in a semi-Catholic home. You had to dip yourself in the holy water and did the general. Oh, my goodness. Oh, we did this thing. Oh, Lord. You go to get into church and there's an aisle down the center, and every time you went to that, yeah, I did. John Cinelli tells this great story. I don't know if he's talking about himself or somebody else now. The details are foggy. He told it a long time ago. So one time he went in the church. He was really broken, hungry. He went in the church and he was robbing the golden chalices because he figured they could sell them. So he's loading up his thing. And as he's walking, he walks by. You're robbing the church, but don't forget the genuflect. You know what I mean? You get such into these religiosity. And you tell a Catholic. Anybody ever try to talk to their Catholic family about Christ? Hail Mary, full of grace. Oh, you don't got to pray to Mary. Mary don't hear no prayers. Is that what they teach you in that effing church of yours, huh? That what they're going to teach? Whoa, easy. You notice how they go off on you? Well, you lost your religion quick, didn't you? So important. So important. Guys, you see that cross? You know why he ain't on there? Because he's alive. Now, am I making fun of Catholics? Please, if you're from a Catholic background, I'm poking a little fun because I'm Catholic. But it don't matter if you're Catholic. It only matters that you're Christian. If you talk to a Catholic and say, are you Catholic? I'm Christian. A Christian is supposed to be a Catholic. A Catholic is supposed to be a Christian. There's half of every church, including ours, who have no clue what their faith is. No understanding. Don't just go to any church thinking you're okay because you go to the church. You got to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. You got to. Don't pledge your allegiance to a pope or a name, a denomination. Pledge your allegiance to Christ Jesus, your Lord. And if God so leads you to a church where they call themselves Roman Catholic, so be it. If they so lead you to a church where they call themselves Pentecostal, so be it. But the Bible says this, and I love this verse, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And what I love about that verse, I think it crosses any religious lines, not just the Christian faiths, but the Muslim faith, Baptist faith, Buddhist faith. If somebody is really searching for God, no matter what faith they call themselves by, the Lord Jesus will reveal himself to them. Now, that's not to say that if you're Muslim, you can be saved and go to the heaven that's in the Bible, nor any other. That's not what I'm saying. Please don't. Oh, I can't believe he said it. Here's what I'm saying. If you're not just being part of your culture, if you're not just being a part of your religion, if you're not just being a part of any semi-generic faith that's out there, if you really, just really want to please God, God, speak into my heart. God is going to put you exactly where he wants you to be so that you can spend eternity with him. Ain't no doubt about that. So please, if you're from a Catholic background here, my family's Catholic. No, it's not. I'm poking fun because I'm a part of it, not because I'm looking out and saying, no, those darn Catholics. Not at all. Those darn Catholics. Love them. Love them all. Verse 18, ready? Let no one cheat you out of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding to those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Exactly what I said, he just said in bigger words. Probably a lot more intelligent than me. He was very, very educated, the Apostle Paul was. And here's basically what he said. He says, listen, whatever you're doing, he says, you don't need to worship angels. You don't need to go to a pope. You don't need to go to a priest, whatever religion or national, you don't. That is what's called the deeds of the Nicolaitans. The Bible says that the veil of the temple was torn in two, rent from top to bottom. You want to talk to God? Enter in, he says. Enter in. Do not find yourself following. You cannot mix Christ with some New Age faith that you have. You cannot mix Christ with Shirley MacLaine or any of the Oprah Winfrey. Look, you can't. You can't. And this is what the Apostle Paul, remember, he's writing a letter to churches who are doing things wrong. And he's trying to help them straighten out. Why is this? Ryan, are you suggesting that Catholics aren't saved? Ryan, are you suggesting that Jews aren't saved? Ryan, are you suggesting? No, I'm not suggesting anything. I only suggest God knows who's saved and who's not. Ryan don't know a darn thing. But here's what I am going to suggest. If you're struggling with any of those things I said in my introduction, why is it? Why is it I've been married for 30 years and I've been faithful to my wife when nobody else in my family has ever been faithful? In the Italian culture, we have what's called dampanata. It's just a thing on the side. Wife don't want it no more. I'll come home to you, baby. Don't worry about it. But I got to go see the dampanata. That's my daughter. She's sharpening a knife. Go ahead, Daddy. Go see the dampanada. See what happens. Because the curse on my life has been broken. And I have chosen not to walk in the curse of my family, the way of my culture. I've decided that the head of my life is Christ. You guys with me? Watch. I'm going to bring it to a close in a second. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but they are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Please, here's where I bring it together. You're with me? Please listen closely and listen completely. In some churches, they will tell you and make you feel as though if you are a man and a woman and you're living together and you're not married, you're sinning so bad, God don't love you. There are some churches that will suggest if you are a homosexual, you cannot love God. There are some churches that suggest if you smoke pot, you're not a Christian. If you drink, you're not a Christian. Christians don't drink. And here, the apostle is saying, listen to me. None of those things matter at all. Now, you might be here saying, wait a second, Ryan. Are you saying that fornication is okay? Are you saying that drunkenness and revelries are okay? No. I'm saying don't stop doing those things thinking that's going to please God. Here's why. God loves homosexuals. God loves drunks. Thank God. God loves people who smoke pot. God loves them all. You're not going to get him to love you anymore by stopping those things. But here's what he is going to say. Watch. Please don't let me lose you here. If then you were raised with Christ, now he's referring back again to the baptism where you pledged your conscience. So here, you take a human being and you identify with Christ by being baptized. Now, what's the identification process? That's right, Brian. You died. You died to yourself. You died to your flesh. You died to the world. You're dead to the enemy. And you were what after that? Raised. So, if then, verse 1 of chapter 3, you were raised with Christ, you seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For if you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God, when Christ, who is your life, appears, you'll also appear with him in glory. You won't miss him. You won't miss him. Now, before I read the next verse, let me explain how this works. I have so many people I invite to church. Oh, man, you know I'm gay. I'm like, I don't care.
Well, I know how you churches think about us gay people.
What? Who told you that? Like, who told them that? Who told gay people we hate them? Because I never hate no gay person. Other gay people. Tell gay people, don't go to church, they hate you there. I've never been in a church where the pastor said anything negative about gay people. Gay lifestyle ain't so gay, that I know. My family been around it their whole lives. But that's them to find out. Pot smoker, if you're a pot smoker in here, listen to me. Figure out like this. Don't smoke pot for 3 months. After 3 months of not smoking pot, if you still think to yourself, man, I really miss that, smoke all you want. But here's what happens to every pot smoker I know. They quit for 3 months, and they go, I've been missing my whole life. I've been in a fog for as long as I've been smoking pot. Now, here's the other side of that, though. I don't want to quit smoking pot. You know why? You can't. You're hooked. It's got you. You're chained. Quit for 3 months, then. I don't want to quit for 3 months. You can't quit for 3 months. You're bound.
Well, I like smoking pot. Then keep smoking pot. Then how come you're not going to church? Well, I know you guys don't like us smoking pot.
I don't care much pot. What if you're smoking pot? I have to do with what I preach the Bible. Drink as much as you want. Smoke as much as you want. Sleep around with the same sex as much as you want. Just do me a favor. Show up to church on Sunday and read your Bible. And watch what God does. Not what Ryan does. Because I could not believe the change that went on in my heart when I started to read the Bible, go to church, worship. The things that I used to really like, all of a sudden I didn't want to do them no more. But it certainly wasn't because my pastor sat up on the pulpit. Man, let me tell you something. My pastor was the best. At one point he would preach that word, never felt judged, never felt, man, he just, welcome, come on. Never, though, did he compromise the word of God. Not for the first 10, 15 years I was there. And that's what I want to do. Hey, man, come as you are. You want to give to God the work of God, give. If you don't. I don't care. Like Bono from U2 says, God ain't short of cash, mister. If you want to smoke, go ahead. However, when you get serious about the things of the Lord, watch what happens. And here's where we finish up. Verse 4, chapter 3, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. Stop. Close your Bible. This is where I bring what I said in the introduction to a close. Watch. Yes, you have no strength over the flesh. Yes, you have no strength over the world. Yes, you have no strength over the enemy. But watch this. You ready? You're free. Ask yourself now, if I'm free, why don't I feel free? If I'm free, why don't I act free? If I can do all those things and still be a Christian, then why don't I? Well, how you feeling? How's your life doing? Or as Pastor Jim Coy would say to me, So how's that working for you, Ryan? How's that working for you? How's sleeping around working for you? You feel good about yourself? Is your relationship strong? How's smoking all that herb? Good to keep a job. Real easy to keep a job when you smoke pot all the time, right? How's that doing for you? And at some point in time, you're going to look up and you're going to go, okay, God, how do I put an end to this? I cannot stop fighting with this woman. I cannot stop. All we do is fight. I love her half the time. And the other half of the time, we fight and I want to kill her or at least get out of here. And then as soon as I'm out of there, all I want her is back. Well, I'll tell you why. Because you're not getting stronger. We got some guys that come to the gym sometimes. They've been doing jiu-jitsu for 15, 20 years, and they maybe train once or twice a month, maybe. And they come to the gym, and they get whooped up by our blue belts. They get turned upside down, turned a knot. Man, why? I've been doing jiu-jitsu so long. No, you've not! You've been doing Christ for so long. I first started going to church in 1984. Really? Have you even looked at the Bible? I have one in my house. Yeah, that's not how this works. You got to actually train. You got to get some jogging in. You got to roll. You got to get some instruction. You got to get with a black belt that really knows what he's doing. You know what I mean? You got to get in this thing. Hey, I told you tonight we're having an outreach at the beach. Come on out. Oh, I can't. I have work tomorrow. I see. When you're in the world, a shower at midnight, get back, go out at 4 a.m., hit the late night clubs, that was no problem, especially on a Sunday night. Be to work next morning, 3 hours, all I need, good to go. Cup of coffee, 4-hour energy drink, and I'll drink some bangs during the day. I make it, but I'm having my fun. But I tell you, we're having church on Sunday at 10 a.m. And listen, don't tell anybody, but we don't start till 10:15 every week. 10:30 sometimes. Eric's got it down. He's like, 10:30 sometimes, you're kidding me? Get here at 10:30, only missed 2 songs. So here's what you got to do. If you want to. If you're sick of being torn up by the enemy. If you're sick of your flesh leading you around. If you're tired of doing what everybody else does. You read your Bible every day. You spend some time in prayer every day. You worship God every day. You go to church when the doors are open. And you share your faith with people. These are the faith-building things. These are the faith-building things. These are the things which make you strong. These are the things which you will be able to then say no to the flesh. Wait a second. I have a job. I'm married. I got kids. And you're telling me I have to do these things? I'm not telling you have to do any darn thing. I'm just blessed you're here. Here's what I'm telling you. If you're sick of the world, you're sick of yourself, What did the AA call it? If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, I'm telling you, if you can't get along with your spouse, I got an idea. Why don't you try praying with them every day? Let's see how that works.
So I don't want to pray with them, man.
Okay. How's that working for you? Don't worry. You can get divorced. There'll be another one. Statistics on divorce are great anyway. They're like 68% at this point. Second marriage is like 82%. Third marriages, you die. You get out of it one way or the other. I hope I made some sense to you all today. I hope I enlightened you on the doctrine. Paul's continuing to preach on these things. We're going to review the putting to death of flesh and why, instead of being this guy here, because there's nothing worse than having somebody who's been walking with the Lord for 20 years and they still struggle with the same things, still having the same problems, still this man, not me, not me. If anyone's in Christ, the old is gone and the new has come. And let me put the caveat in it for you. If you don't know how to read the Bible, if you don't know how to pray, if you don't know where the church is, if you don't know good worship music, and if you don't know how to share your faith, we have a church full of people that would love to help you. I'm always here. There's nobody in this church that doesn't get ministry if they want it from me. And there's plenty of brothers and sisters here. If you're sincere and honest and you're sick and tired of being sick and tired and you want, I just want to know how, come and see us. Sister, I'll put you with a good sister. Brother, I'll either do it myself or put you with a brother you can relate to. But if things ain't working out for you and you go to church once a month, you don't take your kid to the youth group, what do you want me to do? Wait, I think I have a magic wand somewhere. Let me see. Life is tough, and you're not going to beat the enemy. You're not going to stop the world, and you will be weak in the flesh. I'm sorry, that's the bad news. The good news is Christ came to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the good word that you've given us today, God, and we thank you that your word is true and real and perfect and powerful, and you're still willing to use the foolish things and the weak things of this world to confound the wise. God, I ask you, please, that if there's anybody here that was moved by your word today, then may this sink deep into their heart. And if there's anybody here that was offended by something I said, please take it from them, God. May no offense of my lips cause any stumbling, please. We love you and we need you, God. We need you, need you, need you. So please, you are our life, and when you appear, we want to appear with you in glory. Let nothing stop that from happening. And God, we pray now, and in our mind's eye, we visualize that beach right now, that sign and that whole area, and we claim it for Christ. And until we get there tonight and start worshiping, God, make that holy ground. And you set appointments for us tonight, that tonight people would be set free and saved and renewed. And God, be with us tonight. God, anoint those that are going to be there to play and to worship in spirit and truth. Love you and need you and thank you so much, Lord Jesus. In Christ's name, amen. 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 Amen.